97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into this week's podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo and producer Chad Ellis here in studio. Bo Matthews is connected via the power of technology as we continue to practice proper social distancing. And sticking around from this week's show is our friend, the professional fisherman Mike Marfell, who hates when I call him a professional fisherman, but he's the most professional fisherman I know. So that's what I call him.
I'll take it.
So,
I'll tell you what, with this social Disney or the other tournaments being canceled, we had a couple of MLF guys, a former Bassmaster Classic champ. You know, those guys aren't fishing their tournaments, so they're coming and playing with us. And
wow.
Yeah, I love it. You know,
that's
I love it.
Cool. Yeah.
Competing against the best. Yeah.
So we just ended this week's show, the radio show, and if you missed that, you can always go back and get that podcast. We put out not only this podcast, but the show podcast every week. We put out podcasts on Fridays and Mondays, and Mike was on the show with us this week, and we were talking about the tournament that he was in last week, finally got out into a tournament. So many tournaments have been canceled this year, but Mike finally got on the water, 4-1, and I said on the show that we would dive into some of the details. So I think it's interesting stuff, and I think it's people that have been in multiple tournaments. They've probably felt your pain and what you went through this week. Tell us about how you guys did, the results, and how things could have been oh so different.
Oh yeah, things could have been very different. So go back to the beginning. Last week, the weekend before last, my team partner, you know, he owns a house down there. He went down there and he called me and he was like, dude, I am knocking their teeth in. And he said, we're doing it the way you do it best, which is skipping back behind docks. And so he was super confident that, you know, when I told him I'm going to take off work and go down there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he was like, dude, don't go down there and wreck a bunch of them. I was like, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go somewhere I've never been, way away from where we're going to fish. I'm just going to get out. I need to get out and practice skipping a jig. You can't just show up on tournament day. You know, you're going to end up with backlashes and everything else. You got to kind of get in the groove. And so he went out, he caught him again. I went and did something totally different to have a backup plan. You know, I was just doing something different to have a backup plan. And every day I'd come in, he'd say, man, I shook off big ones. I caught, you know, the ones that wouldn't let me shake them off for 4 pounds plus. So I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Very first morning of the tournament, we go in. I get a skip between a dock float and a walkway. And I looked at him and I was like, I ain't getting that back without a fight. And sure enough, the thing was, Tony, if you felt the bite, it wasn't a keeper. If your line just swam off, it was one with shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there waiting, you know, I skip underneath there and I'm thinking in my head, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, 2, man, that thing should have been on the bottom. And I tightened up the line that was going sideways and boom, I lean into him. And sure enough, I can feel that head shaking. It wraps me up, breaks me off. And because I was way back up under cable, it gets me around the cable.
You know how those cables are. Yeah.
22 pound fluorocarbon line and just pow, like a shotgun. And I'm like, ah. I was like, that's not starting. And Greg looked at me and he's like, don't worry. We're going to catch him today. I'm like, all right, well, long story short, it'd been sunny and high skies for 3-4 days. You know, like I told you, Saturday was like worse than the 4th of July down there with boat traffic.
Yeah.
And this was a big storm moving in. It was cloudy. So we catch a keeper and then we go. And we just can't get him to bite. And we're being stubborn because that's the way he's been catching them. And finally, I had another one do the same thing. So we've lost two big ones now, and we've got one small keeper. It's probably like 16 inches. And a storm came in that was out of this world. Like, I had that 36-volt trolling motor as high as it would go, and it was barely holding us still. And wind and rain. And I had, just before the storm came, I had went up to skip behind a dock. And you know how some of those bigger condo docks are big enough to have a few jet skis behind them? So there's a lot of space between the dock and the shore.
Yep.
So I could fit my boat back in there. I got back in there. And as I'm going in there, I see like a 4-pounder just cruising down the bank. And I'm thinking, that's interesting. You know, he's not hunkered down anywhere. So I turn around and go down this bank that has no docks on it. It's not pea gravel. Everything we've been fishing had been pea gravel. And we proceed to just, when that rain started, we probably caught 25 fish in the time that it was raining. And then, like I said, it rained so hard you couldn't see. And we were just catching fish after fish. And I caught the biggest fish of the day, and I caught a few more. We ended up having a limit real quick. And they were small. We had one that was like 4 and a 4.14, something like that. And then, like dummies, we went back to skipping back behind docks. Because I knew that, at Lake of the Ozarks, I've told you before, you're five cast away from five bait fish at this time of year. My biggest limits come this time of year, like 25, 26 pounds. So I was confident all we needed to do was catch one more. And had we put those other two in, we ended up in 43rd, but we're only a pound and a half from getting a check.
Wow.
Wow.
So,
brutal.
I mean, the weights went 22.78.
One little fish. One little fish away from money.
Well, just one 3-pounder to get rid of the little fish, and we're in the money. And then one more like that, and we're in the top 15. One more, get rid of the three little ones that we had with something decent, 3 pounds.
The two that were on.
And we,
how about the two that were the two that were on
that
broke off the line?
Wrong, puts us in the top five, most likely.
Isn't that amazing?
We ended up with 12 something, and all. To get into the top five, we needed 1685. So,
wow,
very, very doable.
So if you just don't lose those two fish on the dock cables, not only are you in the money, you're it comfortably in the top 10.
That's right.
That's what it's all about, though, isn't it? I mean,
it really is. It really is. And like I said, that was very interesting. That every fish that we kept, you never felt it bite.
That's
if you
incredible.
Felt it bite, you might as well not even set the hook and just, keep moving it, because.
But how do you know when to set the hook, Mike?
It feels funny. It's not on the bottom. The line's moving. It just doesn't
feels
feel
funny,
right.
Bo.
So it's kind of like the COVID-19.
You know that something's not right.
Right. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not doing what it's supposed to do.
It's like that shouldn't be moving by itself.
Right.
It shouldn't. But when that wind gets up like that, that makes it tough because you can't, you got a bunch of slack blown in your line. It makes it a little tougher, but very interesting, man. I mean, it was very cool that, that we were right there. We just didn't make adjustments or didn't put the two fish in. And that's the case with it. I mean, there's probably 10 other guys in that, in that boat or more.
Sure. For guys that are just getting out, maybe for the first time this year, what are some of the tips that you can give people for this time of year? It's been a little, like this week in particular, has been a little bit colder, temperatures a little below where we should be this week, although pretty nice days, but kind of a colder weather. What's going on with these fish?
Well, Lake of the Ozarks in particular, it's the water's 64 degrees. They're wanting on the bed. They're wanting to get up and spawn really bad. Of course, the lake's still not up yet. It's still down, 4 feet? I seen a few beds with little males on them, so they're real close to spawning at Lake of the Ozarks. And what you want to look for down there right now is pea gravel, flatter banks with pea gravel, that smaller gravel, sandy gravel. You can have some chunk rock mixed in it, but they, down there, they like to spawn between them cables because they feel safe back behind those docks. And, of course, further back in the coves where they're not getting blasted by a bunch of those big waves. And you can do it on your favorite bait. It doesn't matter. Your favorite bait that goes to the bottom, whether it's a soft plastic or a jig or one of the teams that finished high, they caught most of their fish on topwater.
I was going to ask you about.
Absolutely.
Is it warm enough to fish the topwater yet? And
absolutely.
But do you need to be slow rolling everything? Are they aggressive?
No. It's over 64 degrees. They'll come get it.
They're moving.
Yeah. Yeah. When I told you I was trying to see about a secondary pattern, I was swimming big commercial docks like where the yachts are, and I had several come following it, and I was moving it pretty fast because I didn't want them to bite it. I just wanted them to come out where I could see them. They're good to go. You run a buzzbait over a big female on a bed, she's not gonna be able to stand it.
Explain what to look for when you talk about beds and spawning. Like, you can actually see that. So tell people what people that aren't.
It'll look
as
like a pie pan. It'll look like it's just a cleared off spot on the bottom. If you're gonna have to have polarized sunglasses on, and it's going to have to be fairly calm to see it.
Right.
And right now there's a lot of that pollen on the water, so it makes
it typically
tough. I've seen some guys.
How deep are they?
Like there's,
how deep are those beds and how far off the bank?
Well, it depends on how steep the bank is, how far off the bank. But it's going to be, they're going to be in 2 to 3 foot of water. And some of the bigger ones will spawn a little deeper than that. But it'll be from that 2 foot to, say, 5 foot range. And, you know, a good hood, put a hood up and put some good polarized sunglasses on to block any of that light from you can see them plain as day. When it's calm.
Mm-hmm.
When it's calm, it'll just be a shiny spot on the bottom. You know how Lake of the Ozarks gets a lot of that muck and leaves on the bottom from a lot of people blow their leaves into the lake and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those fish come in there and they clean that all out. So you'll see that saucer. And if you see what looks like a torpedo sitting in the middle of the saucer, that means there's one there. Now the males are guarding right now, or, you know, they do all the work and then the females come in and lay their eggs
right.
and take off generally. But, they'll be somewhere close by, and the spawn the shad are starting to spawn down there too. I've seen a bunch of big gizzards running around doing their thing. So both bass, you know, not that you're trying to catch shad, but when they're spawning shad, bass are going to be feasting on them.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Where the shad are, the bass.
Lake of the Ozarks, you see the big gizzards. Fish because there's big bass there to eat them.
And you don't have to be on a big lake like Lake of the Ozarks for those the beds and all that. That all still applies even on little farm ponds, right?
I highly recommend that's how you go learn to sight fish is on a small farm pond.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it from the bank. I mean, you know, you don't have to be in a boat to do it. It's better to be in a boat, be standing up.
My partner's
house is two stories, and you can really when you're up that high on the deck. You can really see those. You can see those beds in the back of that cove.
This is a perfect time to announce that Bo is opening up his pond on his property.
Don't you even
for public fishing?
Never.
That ain't not happening. That is not happening. I've had people ask. I'm like, nope, you're not, because this is private property.
Go out there and see if you can find some bass beds, though. Maybe you can take advantage of that right now.
Yeah.
Does Bo find any morels on his compound? Has that happened
No,
yet?
Buddy, I have looked for years and have never found them. I don't even know. I look at all the tips on Facebook, you know, the morel groups and stuff.
Sure.
You know, it's got to be on the north side. It's got to be on the south side. It's got to be in the shade. It's got to be on. I have found not one.
I don't think anybody knows, Bo. I think it's all BS. I think it, nobody knows. You
it's
know,
like it's all luck. Yeah.
Yeah. Which it's all real. Just hard work and, you know, yeah. It's all just getting out there and stumbling around the woods until you run into them.
Hey, Mike, do they have the whole schedule lined out for the year now down at the lake or no?
We at the lake, we are done because Memorial Day is coming up. So,
yeah, after that, there are no tournaments.
There won't be any. There'll be some Wednesday nighters and small tournaments. My next, honestly, good news is we finished, I think, 11th for the season, or maybe even higher. Let's see. I pulled that up because I was wondering.
And how was the...
we finished 11th overall. And so our championship will be in September, and that's my next tournament now. You know, it's a weird year, not until September.
It is.
Wow, that's crazy.
I talked to a buddy yesterday. They said that they're down at the lake. They've been living at their cabin, and they said they were at a bar the other day, and they were a foot apart from other people. I mean, it's and I haven't been to the Lake of the Ozarks in a long time, but what's the restaurants, bars? Does it seem like it's kind of normalizing or no?
Well, I think after last Sunday, it was supposed to open back up. They were still just doing takeout and stuff when I was down there. I can tell you this. They were turning people away from PB2 because there's no more parking spots left on Saturday.
But, yeah, you were there before the official open date.
Official opening,
which
yeah,
is now
yeah.
passed. So, yeah, I think unless the Osage County board has made special rules, then they would be under the governor's decree,
rules,
which opened the state back up. Yeah.
Right.
And
so
I can tell you that they're itching. Their people are itching to get out. I mean, it was crazy, Bo. It was worse than the 4th of July. I mean, it was nuts.
My brother was down there last weekend also, and he said the same thing.
We've talked about this before. You go out and you see that many boats, and you're like, oh, my God, this is crazy. And then you pull into a cove and that cove has 1,000 boats still on the dock, and you think, oh my God, what if they all came out?
I know. Yeah, exactly. No, you're so right. You're so right.
Bikinis with face masks. That's what I see for the Party Cove this year at Memorial Day.
Party Cove.
They
yeah.
probably should have started that 20 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Party Cove.
I'll tell you guys a shot, Bo. You know, we can right. wear a mask.
Right. It's yeah. And the ugly girls. Oh,
okay. All right. Good thing this is the podcast
the,
exclusive.
The face
early,
mask covers a lot,
twice.
Buddy.
Beautiful eyes.
So, did you guys still get some good content for the YouTube page, Mike?
No, we didn't. Dave doesn't go with me on these team tournaments, so no, we didn't. I didn't at all get any for the YouTube page this weekend. But Gabe's got some great content out there. Like I said, he's been with this stuff going on. He's a mail carrier and he has some weird hours, like weird days off in the middle of the week, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's been hitting all these small southern lakes, catching fish on a frog, punching grass. He's got a really good one out there with taking his daughter out. I mean, he's really getting after it. He has great, great content. And he keeps them short. And, man, great. He's getting good at editing. Like, he breaks these things down. They flow. You watched a 20-minute video, and it felt like it was 3 or 4 minutes. So
that's great.
Yeah. So me and him will be back at it in September.
But you guys
possibly
have some tournaments on
going.
There. You have some good content on there already.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have, like, 3 or 4 on there of me and him. And he's got, I don't know how many hundreds of videos of his own.
Right. And that's 10 Horse Monty on YouTube, right?
Yep. So here's the thing, interesting story. So September, the BFLs that were canceled, the ones that me and Gabe did, the 10 Horse did, our makeup date for the Lake of the Ozarks division, here's what they're doing. We're doing Saturday at Truman.
Oh, wow.
And then Sunday at Lake of the Ozarks out of Warsaw. So starting up the river.
Wow.
So there'll be two tournaments, two completely separate tournaments, but just back-to-back trying to make these up. So we'll have two videos pumped out really quick there of two separate tournaments, but
it's kind of like the NASCAR thing. NASCAR's
way up the Warsaw.
Yeah, it's kind of like how NASCAR is doing, you know, stacking all these races on top of each other. The you guys are going to be stacking these tournaments on top of each other.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's pretty cool. We're fishing Truman and then the tailwaters of Truman, which is the beginning of Lake of the Ozarks the next day. And I don't know if you've ever fished up there, but when you'd have a 200 boat tournament coming out of that river up there where it's 4 boats wide when it starts, it's not for the faint of heart.
Right.
Takeoff in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's full on river up there. It's
not wide.
Yeah. You got to watch where sandbars are. Or you'll be stuck till the water comes up. So it gets a little nutty. And, you know, the current can be strong up there, too.
What are you going to do for the rest of the spring and summer? I imagine you're not going to not fish. So is it just going to be a time to practice?
It's going to be a time to get out with family. Yeah. I'm going to get out with my boys. And, you know, I got 3 boys and a girl. So the 2 older ones are working a lot. But, you know, try to get out and go with them. And
nice.
Next weekend, possibly me and the we were scheduled to have a BFL at Lake of the Ozarks, which is canceled. But the 10 Horse contacted me and said, hey, you think Greg will let us stay at the house? So we might go down and just get some fun content without a tournament together.
You think there will be some, organizations throwing together little, fundraising tournaments just kind of popping up here and there that you or others can kind of take advantage
of? Bob has a couple.
Yeah.
I think Bass and Bob's already done a couple. He's been planning on doing a couple.
Yeah, keep an eye open for those because that would be some fun stuff to take advantage of. I'm not saying you, I'm saying everybody. Keep your eyes open for those.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. And other lakes, you know, there'll be tournaments on other lakes. It's just Lake of the Ozarks is almost impossible to fish after Memorial Day. I mean, or else you go way up by Warsaw.
Yeah, you go through the week. Go through the week and you're fine.
Oh, go through the week, yeah. My buddy that used to do a podcast called Doc Talk, and I was a guest on there years and years ago, and he sent me pictures and he was like, you're going to love retirement, because he was fishing Lake of the Ozarks on a Monday. This was on Monday, and he just was sending me picture after picture of these. Because I swear those bass have a calendar down there. They know when it's the weekend. It's so much easier to catch them on a Tuesday than it is on a Saturday or Sunday.
They all have iPhones and with their calendar.
And you could not skip a bait down there on Saturday because it was just you know, I'd stand there with my hands on my hips waiting for the waves to die down. Then here come four more jet skis. I'm like, all right, that's, you know, because you can't skip in the waves. It's just, it's not doable. So, and like I told you, man, my boat, 20 foot, whatever it is, 4 inches, 250 horse outboard, and I was barely, the fastest I ever went was 22 miles an hour.
And wow.
I had to duck into a cove to collect my thoughts twice, running from the 8 to the PB2. And one time idling out of the cove, I took three over the bow that just filled the boat with water, just Jeez. Trying to idle out and get up on plane. It was, I promise you, if you'd never been in a bass boat or been on Lake of the Ozarks, you'd have been scared to death.
Oh,
I was scared, and I've been doing this a long time, and I was a little spooked by the whole thing. And you know, it's crazy. I was fishing a little cove, not far off the main lake, and on the glaze, and so I'm back in a protected area behind big docks, and the lake has like a little peninsula. The cove has a little peninsula that comes out. And the waves that were crashing off of that peninsula were shooting up 25, 30 feet in the air. You know, the water was spraying up when it would smash into that.
Man, that's unbelievable. Wow. Just goes to show you how desperate people were to get out. You know, they were so happy to finally be able to get out and about that that's what happens. But I'm sure.
And Mike.
Yeah, go ahead, Bo.
Yeah.
And Mike, you're going to need to shop for a bigger boat, probably.
If you're going to fish Lake of the Ozarks, you're going to have to find a 48-foot bass boat.
Yeah, no kidding. I'd like to see that. Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
They don't make one. My friend, when I bought my 20-footer, when I won this boat, he was like, well, why don't you get the 21? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you fish Lake of the Ozarks all the time. I was like, 19, 20, 20. It doesn't matter. Once it gets big, my thing is getting between the docks, and I didn't want a 21-foot.
Yeah, right.
Will it handle the rough water a little better? Yeah, but not enough to matter.
Exactly.
I mean, it's frightening. I mean, so, and to your point, Tony, I talked to a lot of people on the docks during, because I got down there on Thursday, and there'd be people, you know, fishing off their dock or just doing some general maintenance, and I'd be like, hey, how's it going, blah blah blah, do you full-timer down here? He goes, I have been for the last 4 weeks, you know. He's like, yeah, when this whole thing happened, we just got out of the city and came down here,
right?
We're, you know, we got internet here, we're just working from home here, and just we thought we'd get out of the city. And so that's what a lot of people did. They just, the kids are out of school, they just packed the family up and went to the lake house. So there's more people there than normal this time of year. And I can't blame them. If I had a house down there, I sure as heck would get out of the city and go down there.
Well, so, Mike, we'll continue to check in with you throughout the spring and summer and see how things are going as you practice and fish with the family. And it's always great information to talk to you about fishing. And so,
We need to get me, you. We need to get me, you, Perry, and Bo, and go down to the lake, and then
Man, Chad just got left out. Down there. Chad just got
Chad
left on the dock.
It's fine.
I didn't know Chad fished. I am
here to record the story.
Yeah, Chad's the cameraman. Yeah. He's gonna be the cameraman in the boat. I love it.
Bumper music was awesome today for the Zeppelin portion. Chad, I've run across like three songs I'm gonna be sending you that would make great bumper music for 2A radio.
There you go.
Some of them had to do with guns. So
nice.
Yeah.
Send them to him. That's awesome stuff.
I hope he listens to you, Mike, because he don't listen to me.
Mike Marfell, check out some of those great videos on 10 Horse Monty, T-I-N, like the metal 10 boat, 10 Horse Monty on YouTube. You'll see a lot of videos from Mike's partner, and then Mike is in a bunch of those videos as well. Go and check that stuff out. And Mike, we'll talk to you again really soon on the show and here on the podcast exclusive as we go through hopefully a fun year, a fun spring and summer of fishing. So we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds great, Tony. I appreciate it, guys. Everybody be safe.
Yeah,
take
you
care,
too.
Guys.
Yep. Yeah, talk
you
to you
too,
soon.
Bye bye.
All right, that's going to wrap up the podcast.
Oh, you didn't ask him. You didn't ask him the question.
What was the question?
You didn't ask him the question.
What was the question?
Do you wear underwear?
Oh,
thought that was coming. Yeah. I thought you were going to do that.
That was even an off the air. That was even an off the podcast exclusive conversation. You got to have the,
well,
you got to have the exclusive podcast
to
find that.
It was your revelation. It was your headline, Tony. That's all I'm saying.
You had a revelation too, my friend. That was a little bit more person. All right, that's going to do it. We'll talk about that later. That's going to do it for the edition of the this edition of the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Check out both podcasts that we put out every week. Anywhere you download podcasts, but especially the radio.com app. I think that's the best place to get our podcasts. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. See ya.
See ya, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.